I've been really surprised at how many people who listen to this podcast have reached out to me about having me speak at their events. I love that. And here's why. Over the last 13 years, I've had the honor to help hundreds of companies like Nissan, Walmart, Microsoft, and Comedy Central at events around the world. And during that time, I've developed three big goals for your event. Number one, I want to slingshot your audience into the best year they've ever had. Whether I'm opening, closing, or somewhere in the middle of the event, I want to launch everyone out of that room with actionable, memorable things that they can apply to their work and lives immediately. Number two, my second goal, I want the sound team engaged and laughing. The sound team has heard it all. They have. And if I can make them laugh and learn along the way, the audience is going to absolutely love the keynote. And number three, my third goal, I want you to get text messages during the keynote. My favorite sentence to hear from you after I speak is, "John, my phone was blowing up during your keynote." I'm there to make you look like a rock star, not me. If your boss texts you during my speech and compliments you on how well the event is going, then I know I've done my job. Whether it's virtual or live, 10,000 people in an arena, or 15 sales team members on WebEx or Zoom or Microsoft Teams, I'd love to help you with your next event. Fill out the quick form at acuff.me/speaking to check my availability. That's acuff, acuff.me/speaking. Hey everyone, and welcome to the All It Takes a Goal podcast. If you're new around here, I'm a late bloomer who discovered the power of goals in his mid-30s. Now, I'm on a furious mission to create the accelerators I wish I had in my 20s. I'm your host, John Acuff, and today we're talking about 9 counterintuitive ways to enjoy your resolutions way more in 2024. Most people, let's be real. Most people, it's February, most people have quit their resolutions by now. But one of my favorite things to say is we're not most people. We're not most people. We're still working on them. We're still dreaming. We're still planning. We're still doing. We're still building an amazing 2024. I've got 9 ideas for you today that you are going to love. We've spent the last few weeks on a special series called Fail-Proof Resolutions. Boom, boom, boom. This is episode 6. This is the conclusion episode. Now, don't worry. These episodes are designed to be standalone. So this is your first time. Like if this is your first time listening to my podcast, maybe you saw me speak at an event. I did a bunch of events that were really fun in January. And so maybe you found out about me from an event. This is your first time. Don't worry. You didn't miss anything in the other episodes. These are standalone. But definitely feel free to go back through the other episodes to get the full experience. We'll link them in the show notes so it's super easy. This week, we're concluding the series with an episode titled 9 Counterintuitive Ways to Enjoy Your Resolutions More in 2024. I've been writing books, giving speeches, and researching goals for the last 10 years. When I started my own company in 2013, that's what I started working on. So for the last 10 years, I've been really focused on that. And I found that there's a lot of motivational fluff and hype out there that makes it hard to accomplish your resolutions. I'll never forget, I had a professor say something to me that really changed how I understood imposter syndrome. He said, "John, part of the reason people have imposter syndromes is that they are imposters. There's a lot of imposterism." Is that a word? I might have made up that word. He said, "They should feel imposter syndrome. They're imposters. They don't know what they're talking about. They're not qualified to talk about that. They have no background or experience. They should feel like they're imposters." And that helped me because then I went, wait a second. I don't know if this single 23-year-old who's never been married is the best person to give me marriage advice. Wait a second. What? And so I just think there's a lot of motivational fluff out there, a lot of hype, and I want to sort through that today in the final episode of the Fail-Proof Resolutions, because I think these 9 tips, these 9 points will help you really enjoy your resolutions this year. You ready? Number one, keep new goals to yourself. Keep new goals to yourself. A new goal is fragile. It's fragile. If you share it on day 1 with someone discouraging, they can just torpedo the whole thing with criticism before it's even started. So keep a new goal to yourself until it's strong enough to withstand some doubt from others. So what does that mean? Well, it can look like a few different things. One, I have a friend named Brian Koppelman, and he created the show Billions with his writing partner. He wrote the movie Rounders. He's done a bunch of really fun projects. He's an amazing writer. And he told me one time that he doesn't show things until he's waited 24 hours. Like when he writes something new, he waits 24 hours because it's still so fragile. It's still so new. He can't get feedback on it yet. He has a 24-hour window. It might be longer for you. You might say, you know what? I need a week of progress, or I need a month of progress under my belt first before I start sharing this publicly. It's great to share your goals publicly. It is, but get a little momentum first. I'm working on a goal right now. Like one of my goals is to do morning pages. Julie Cameron in this book called The Artist's Way suggests that you do morning pages. So write 3 pages handwritten every morning to kind of get all your ideas out. And I've done it 10 days in a row. And I'm waiting until day 15 or maybe even day 30 to tell one of my friends about it because he's done it before. And I want to build up a little more momentum. I want to have a little momentum. So keep new goals to yourself. That's the first tip. Because most people, it's counterintuitive because most people say, tell the world, show your goal to everybody all at once, get some accountability, and you need accountability, but there's right ways and wrong ways to get accountability. Number 2, embrace average goals. Embrace average goals. Instead of saying, I'll walk 10,000 steps every day, say, I'll walk an average of 70,000 steps every week. I'll walk an average of 70,000 steps every week. That way, if Tuesday is a mess and you only get 4,000 that day, instead of quitting because you broke your 10,000 everyday streak, you can catch up on the weekend. You can do 16,000 on the weekend. You can balance it out. This is especially helpful if you're a perfectionist. If you're a perfectionist, you should lean into the idea of average goals. I think you should even lean into your goals with a percent of error. Let me give an example. One of my goals this year is to work on goals, like total goals for 1,000 hours. 1,000 hours of my time. That's a lot of time. But I know it'll be easier to accomplish if I give myself a 5% rate of error. What do I mean by that? I'm going to be off by about 50 hours, like I am. Yesterday, for instance, I use this app to track how much time I spend outside. That's one of my goals, is to spend a lot of time outside because it's so good for my heart, so good for my soul. And I was outside, and then I came inside and I ate lunch. And half an hour later, I realized, I forgot to stop the app. Now, years ago, as a perfectionist, I would have scrapped the whole project. That's all it would have taken for me to be like, this is dumb anyway. I don't need to do this goal. I would have gotten stuck in perfectionism. But now I recognize, okay, there's a percent of error at play. If I give myself a 5% error rate with 1,000 hours, that's 50 hours of grace. That's 50 hours of mulligans. That's 50 hours of compassion, which means I'll actually do it. So if you're a perfectionist, you've really got to find some ways to open your hands a little bit. Number 3, do less of what you like and more of what you love. Do less of what you like and more of what you love. An example of that, I like Netflix, but I love holding a book that I wrote in my hands. I like Netflix, but I love getting the foreign edition of a book. I got the foreign edition of a book the other day, and they had redesigned the cover of soundtracks, and I don't know why. I don't know why, but there's a guy on the cover of soundtracks, if you've ever seen it. It's a famous sculpture, and they gave him like a wig. Like he looks like he's wearing a wig. I don't know why in that country they're like, you know what? Wigs sell a ton. Like for our country, we need a wig on this guy. It was hilarious, but I loved getting that in the mail. I like Instagram, I do. But I love the endorphins and the stress relief that I get from a run around the neighborhood. Don't let short-term likes hold you back from long-term joy. I'll probably go deeper on that concept later this year because I think it's a really important one. But the summary is do less of what you like and more of what you love. Number 4, speed date your goals before you get married. Speed date them. New Year's resolutions fail because you try to do something for 365 days that you've never done before. That's like marrying someone you just met. So instead, speed date a goal for 7 days or a month to see if it's worth investing a whole year into. I'm doing that right now. I'm in the middle of a 7-day speed date with a new way to do my email. I got frustrated at my inbox. I felt like it was sucking up so much of my time and my creativity and my best energy. So I was like, I got to change something. So I'm doing a 7-day test. I didn't declare from this moment on for the next year, I'll always do email this way. That's not going to work. I need to speed date it first. So I'm in the middle of a 7-day test. At the end of the 7-day test, I'll go, that worked. Did that have worked better? I'll review it. Speed date, speed date, speed date. Number 5, open gifts, don't fix problems. Open gifts don't fix problems. Most people see a goal as a chance to fix something broken. They say, I'm out of shape and I need to change that. My garage is a mess and I need to declutter. We are in debt. We're in so much debt and we need to do better. And that approach tends to generate shame. When you see your goals as problems to fix, it generates shame. Instead, see goals as a chance to open a gift, a chance to discover a new capability in yourself, a chance to find some part of your potential you didn't even know you have. When you see them as gifts, you're more likely to spend time on them. When you see them as problems, you'll avoid them. Number 6, don't starve your goals. Don't starve them. Feed your goals wisdom, encouragement, and resources all year long. The more you invest in your goals, the easier it is to accomplish them. A great place to start, a really easy, inexpensive place to start would be my new book, All It Takes Is a Goal. You can find that anywhere new books are sold, anywhere new books are sold. And if you're an audio person, and you probably are because you're listening to a podcast, you're going to love the audiobook. I read it. My only regret is I'm not British. Man, do you know how much I could crush audiobooks if I had a British accent? I'm so jealous of people that have British accents. But I read it, and there are 10 bonus stories. I put 10 bonus stories in it. I just found out the other day, it's one of the audiobooks of the year. All It Takes a Goal won one of the audiobooks of the year titles, and it's because of the bonus stories. Love a bonus story. Don't starve your goals. Number 7, keep it simple. Keep it simple. Complicated approaches to goals fail every time. You don't need to color code every hour of your life for the next 6 months with a fancy system. Like some of y'all right now, I know it. I know you got a complicated planner right now and it's already like on a shelf. Like it's February, like January first week. You're like, dude, I'm doing it this year. I'm going to have stickers and felt tip pens from Japan. I'm going for it. And it's already like on a back shelf somewhere. And you're like, yeah, that was way too complicated. You need to move a little today. Like you don't need a fancy system. You just need to move a little today. You need to drink a little water. You need to write a little. You need to talk to one friend. You need to do some simple things. Fight complexity when it sneaks into your plans. It's a distraction at best, and it's an enemy to progress at worst. Number 8, cut your goals in half. Cut them in half. We took nearly 900 people through a 6-month goal study. The people who got their goals in half were 63% more successful. They were more successful. Big, crazy goals are fun, but not if you get overwhelmed and quit. Like they're fun to say, I'm going to climb Everest tomorrow. But if you quit, it doesn't matter if it was fun to say, you didn't actually do it. Run a 5K before you run a marathon. Write a chapter before you write a trilogy. Organize a drawer before you organize a house. Now, my one caveat to this is if you have corporate goals, if you have a goal at work, that goal has been done deliberately with research and information. It's not made up. The problem with goals is we often make them up. We never run and then we go, I think I'm going to run a marathon in like 2 months. And that's made up. There's no information. There's no research. There's no background. The difference with a corporate goal. So right now, like it's so funny. If I send this idea on a slide to a client before I go speak for them, they call me up and they go, hey, would you take out that terrible slide that tells our sales team to sell half as many products? That's not what I'm saying at all. In a corporate situation, they're deliberate about their goals. There's research. There's market analysis. There's studies. They don't overestimate. They're very deliberate about what they estimate they can do. But on a personal goal, when you make a personal goal, it's really easy to skip all the planning stage, all the kind of detail stage, all the research stage, and just come up with some crazy goal that's not based in reality at all. So for personal goals, cut them in half. For corporate goals, crush that goal. Whatever the number is, crush it. Number 9, final one, Tell yourself the truth, but don't be a jerk. Tell yourself the truth, but don't be a jerk. If beating yourself up burned calories, we'd all have six-pack abs at this point. Like, we would. If beating yourself up got you in shape, we'd all have six-pack abs. Be honest with yourself. I mean, if you're in a hole, pretending you're not isn't helpful. It's not. At the same time, be kind to yourself. Gurus who tell you to yell at yourself are just running away from their own trauma. They really are. Like, they have unprocessed trauma and they're trying to beat that trauma out of themselves versus deal with it. A good goal lights you up. It doesn't burn you down. Try a few of those and see how amazing 2024 can really be. Better yet, grab a copy of my new book and just read chapter 2. Chapter 2 has a tool in it that will instantly show you what you really care about and give you a really simple life plan that you can put into work immediately. That's the end of this 6th episode arc, the fail-proof resolutions. I'm so excited that you listened to some episodes. I bet you tried some of the tips. I bet you got a little bit of momentum that's sending you into the rest of the year. Thank you for listening, especially for writing reviews. I love that you guys write reviews. I saw one recently from Mattister, and Mattister said, "So thankful I found this podcast. After listening to another podcast John Aiken was on, I binge listened for hours. This is so much more than your typical self-help. It's practical, easy, doable steps, not just encouraging words. This is going to be life-changing." Wow, I am so honored that you wrote that. That is really encouraging. So thanks for writing that, Mattister. We'll put all the show links. And as always, please make sure you subscribe or follow or whatever the kids are saying these days. I'll see you next week. And remember, all it takes is a goal.
Thanks for listening. To learn more about the All It Takes Is a Goal podcast and to get access to today's show notes and exclusive content from John Acuff, visit acuff.me/podcast. Thanks again for joining us. Be sure to tune in next week for another episode of the All It Takes Is a Goal podcast.
I've been really surprised at how many people who listen to this podcast have reached out to me about having me speak at their events. I love that. And here's why. Over the last 13 years, I've had the honor to help hundreds of companies like Nissan, Walmart, Microsoft, and Comedy Central at events around the world. And during that time, I've developed 3 big goals for your event. Number one, I want to slingshot your audience into the best year they've ever had. Whether I'm opening, closing, or somewhere in the middle of the event, I want to launch everyone out of that room with actionable, memorable things that they can apply to their work and lives immediately. Number two, my second goal, I want the sound team engaged and laughing. The sound team has heard it all. They have. And if I can make them laugh and learn along the way, the audience is going to absolutely love the keynote. And number three, my third goal, I want you to get text messages during the keynote. My favorite sentence to hear from you after I speak is, "John, my phone was blowing up during your keynote." I'm there to make you look like a rock star, not me. If your boss texts you during my speech and compliments you on how well the event is going, then I know I've done my job. Whether it's virtual or live, 10,000 people in an arena, or 15 sales team members on WebEx or Zoom or Microsoft Teams, I'd love to help you with your next event. Fill out the quick form at acuff.me/speaking to check my availability. That's acuff, A-C-U-F-F.me/speaking.